Check. Hey, there we go. All right. So hopefully by now you're in Joshua chapter 3. That's what we're going to be. We're going to actually be looking at a lot of different scripture this morning, but we'll be starting and ending in Joshua chapter 3. So I hope you've made it there in your Bibles. For those of you guys who are curious, the Beef Wellington came out a little medium, I wish I could say medium rare. It was actually medium. And as God would have it, the kale salad was way better, actually. If I'm being honest, the kale salad came out perfectly, the Beef Wellington. But the good news is we're going to try again next year. And so, but I am excited to be here. I'm excited to start the new year with you guys. I've got so much anticipation for what is ahead. And we're, as you notice, we're not in Mark. We're going to jump back into Mark next week. We've kind of finished our Christmas series. So as I was kind of trying to figure out, well, what is the message for this morning? I was praying about it, asking God, what is the message for this morning? And he just sort of said, tell them to get ready. Tell them to get ready, to ask this question, are you ready for what God has for you? And I'll be honest, as I was praying through this, I kind of felt like, well, God, isn't that a little cliche, right? For a New Year's message, asking them if they're ready for God, ready for what he has for the new year. And then he told me, tell them to consecrate themselves like I told my people in Leviticus. And then I was like, okay, that's enough. That's enough change. That's enough of a twist. But that's the message this morning. The message on my heart this morning for all of us as a church is really to just ask this question. Are we ready for what God has for us? And not only that, are we willing to consecrate ourselves? And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, hang on, we'll get there. But that's really what I want us to consider this morning, is how you and I can consecrate ourselves, set ourselves apart before the Lord, and more specifically, what the Lord has for us this year. Asking simply, are you ready? And if you're not, to charge you, to encourage you to get ready. The message this morning is just simply this, to get ready, to consecrate yourselves. So let's pray this morning, and we'll dive in. Lord, as we have come to you in worship, now we turn to your word. God, we just take this moment as we reflect the year, as we anticipate what's ahead, God, that you would make us a church that is willing to consecrate ourselves, to set ourselves apart, to trust in your promises, to know that you have good works ahead of us. God, but to do the work you've called us to be holy, like you've called us to be holy, to be set apart. So God, this morning as we dive into your word, would you help each and every one of us? Would you help us to understand what it is you've called us to, what it is you have for us, and that you would give us the faith to walk into it, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. About 14 years ago, I created a really incredible moment. It was at the Crowley Opera House, and Val was unsuspecting. She was a wedding planner at the time, and she had vendors that she would go and tour the Crowley Opera House. It was a new place for wedding as a wedding venue. You could get married there. And what I did was I told the Crowley Opera House venue operator that I wanted to propose to Val at this venue, and I needed to trick her to do so. We had to have the wedding venue place call Val and say, hey, there's a bride here who wants to tour the place and interview you as a wedding planner. And so this was the premise she walked in on, and then I created this incredible moment. As she walked in, I had candles all out in the aisle, and I was behind stage waiting for her to come up, and at this point, she realizes, okay, there's probably not a bride here. Something's going on, and I pop out. I drop on one knee and ask her to marry me. It was a magical moment. But behind that magical moment, that incredible moment, was a lot of preparation. It was failed attempts. It was me fretting about, me trying to buy candles. Natalie likes to tell the story of Val's sister that it was like the only time I fussed at her because I was just like so nervous, and she was like, you know, fussing with candles. And I was like, okay, just get out of here, right? My nerves had gotten the best of me. I was there was so much preparation behind that moment. And if you look at every moment in your life, all the significant moments, these moments that are milestones in your life, what you'll find is right before that moment, the moment that you most of the time talk about, that right before that moment was another moment. And it's that moment that I want to drill in on this morning. It's the moment before the moment, if you follow me. Let's look at some biblical examples just so we can understand what it is that I'm talking about. This moment before the moment. Let's look at Joshua 3:5, if you will. If you've turned your Bibles there, this is an incredible story where Joshua says to the people in verse 5, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." As the story goes on, God does just that. See, before the moment that we know about, the moment that we talk about, where God sends his people and he pushes the waters back on the Jordan and all of Israel crosses on dry land, that moment, before that moment, was another moment where Joshua called God's people to consecrate themselves. Exodus 19:10-11, the Lord says to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in sight of all the people." This incredible, dramatic moment captured in Scripture, where God comes before all the people. They've set these incredible boundaries. And yet the moment before that moment, Moses tells the people, go and consecrate yourselves. Leviticus 8:10-12. Then Moses took the anointing oil, anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, and so consecrated them. He sprinkled some of the oil on the altar 7 times, anointing the altar and its utensils and the basin with its stands to consecrate them. He poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. So you may know about this moment where Aaron goes before the Lord. He makes the sacrifice before God, and God accepts his sacrifice. No longer Moses, but Aaron's sacrifice is accepted. This dramatic moment, but before that moment was a moment where he was consecrated. Everything involved was set apart and consecrated. Christ himself, in John 17, as he prays, he says, "And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in the truth." Some of your translations may say, "They also may be consecrated in truth." Christ himself, before he goes to the cross, he's gathered with his disciples and he prays this prayer on his way to the garden. He says, "I'm consecrating myself." See, before every moment, there's another moment. And it's this moment that we're going to drill in on this morning, this moment of consecration, this moment where God will prepare you, where you will purify yourself, set yourself apart, and become prepared for what God has for you. We will be ready. So let's dive into this. The way this is going to work this morning is I'm going to just kind of ask 4 questions, really. What, why, and how, really. We're going to ask what 2 times. I realize as I said that. But we're going to kind of go through that, and there's going to be a ton of Scripture. We're going to just kind of survey Scripture this morning and see what Scripture has to say about consecration. That's the first question we're going to ask, is what is consecration? What is this moment before the moment? I want to define it this way. Setting yourself apart for a moment God has set apart for you. See, consecration is this idea in Scripture that just for a moment, for some period of time, you will set yourself apart based on the idea that God has set you apart for a specific thing. This is the idea of consecration. I know most of us this morning probably didn't walk into church thinking, okay, my goals for 2025, definitely consecration, right? And so I'm trying to catch you before you galvanize all of your goals, that consecration needs to be on it. Can all the kids say consecration? No, they, let's give that a shot. Consecration. That's not bad. It's not bad. Consecration is not something we talk about all the time. It's this big, hefty word. It sounds religious. If you've never been in a church and someone tells you to consecrate yourself, you know it's religious. Just it sounds that way, right? But it's incredibly important. I want us to understand what it is and why we need to practice this morning. So simply, I want us to just define it this way. It's setting yourself apart. It's setting yourself apart specifically for a moment, some length of time, anticipating that God has set apart some moment for you to walk through. This is the idea of consecration and what it is. We see this all throughout Scripture, that it was the moment before the moment, right? Every moment in Scripture that God moves his people, he works through his people, there was another moment before that moment where he made them holy. He set them apart. He purified them. God wants to do the same thing with us. And so our call this morning is simply this, to practice consecration, to begin to learn how to set ourselves apart for moments that God has set apart for us. So why should we practice consecration? Why should this be something we should do at all? Why is this something we are even talking about this morning? The number one reason, the primary reason is this, because God has prepared good works for me. This is the primary premise, why we should consecrate ourselves at all. What is required for consecration is this unwavering belief that God has prepared something for you. If you believe, as Scripture teaches, that God has gifted you, that he has called you to a specific purpose, that he's given you opportunities right in front of you, prepared in advance for you to walk through a good work that he has prepared for you. If you believe that, then the call is on you to consecrate yourself for it. Because God has prepared good works for each of us, we should consecrate ourselves. There's each and every one of us, God has some unique thing that he's prepared specifically for you. There are people at your workplace, not someone else's workplace, that need the love of Christ to break through into their life. There are people at your school. There are people here who need discipling. There are books of the Bible that need to be taught. There are businesses that need to be started. There is so much good work that God has prepared for each of us, that for us to take a hold of that, we must first consecrate ourselves. I want us to look at this passage. I think this passage gives us kind of a quick survey of why we should walk into this, why we should practice consecration. It's 2 Timothy 2:21. I'll read it for you. It should be on the screen. It says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." There's three things I just want to kind of zero in on as to why we should practice consecration. One, it's for God's purposes, it's for our purity, and for God's power. We'll see all three of these just real quickly in this verse. Notice what he says, we're going to set apart useful to the master. See, when we consecrate ourselves, we become useful to God's purposes. not our own agenda, not our own purposes, but we become useful to the master. When we consecrate ourselves, when we set ourselves apart, now we become a vessel for God. It's for our purity. It says, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable. See, this practice of consecration, this practice of setting ourselves apart, it's so that we can become a vessel. We purify ourselves, and then God gives us his power, his strength in our weakness. Do you see how this works? We become a vessel. We cleanse ourselves, and then we become a useful vessel to the master of the house, prepared, ready to work. We know God has good works ahead of us. It's our duty to cleanse ourselves, to set ourselves apart, to be holy, to be pure for his purpose, and to do it in God's power. Months ago, I challenged our church to just dive into good works, to good ministry all around us. And then as soon as I said that, I told us we should pray this wild prayer that we would not get good at it. I don't know if you guys remember that. I said, let's do incredible ministry and pray to God that we don't get good at it. And I think this is really probably a clear way to communicate this idea, that really what we should be doing is consecrating ourselves for God's power. That we should not try to do things in our own strength, but as we walk into the good works that God has for us, that we would consecrate ourselves, we would become good vessels for honorable use, for useful to the master, so that his power and his strength is how we would operate. So this is why we should practice this at all, because God's prepared good works for each of us. We should become good vessels. We should cleanse ourselves from what is dishonorable. We should set ourselves apart as holy. Be ready for every good work. So what should I consecrate? All this talk about consecration, what is it that I should actually consecrate? Well, before we dive into that, I want us to just see what gives us the right to consecrate anything at all anyway. And it's this: we have been made priests. Because we have been made priests, we can consecrate anything. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says this: but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have to understand this idea, right? As we've recognized before, that this idea of consecration just seems so unapproachable. But yet we know that because we've been made priests, this is part of our priestly duty. I read Leviticus earlier, where we see Moses consecrating Aaron and everything there in preparation for the sacrifice for God. This is an idea of consecration, the idea that we have now, through Christ as our high priest, we now as priests serve the high priest. And part of our responsibility, part of the liberty, the freedom that we get as a royal priesthood, it means really that we can consecrate anything. We can set apart anything. But this idea of making things holy, setting things apart, holiness in itself sounds so unapproachable. Maybe you're picturing things, just this idea of holiness just sounds medieval. Maybe it just sounds like a monk just somewhere off. Like, I imagine holiness is like your posture is a certain way, right? That to just be holy, and it's none of that. Holiness means to be set apart, dedicated to the service of God, something other, something that's normally used for something is now used specifically for the purposes of God. And because we are priests, we are a nation of priests now, we can consecrate anything. We can make anything holy. Moments can become holy. Oftentimes, we don't understand this idea of a consecrated life, a holy life, because it seems so unattainable. We walk in this false start fallacy where we recognize, well, I'll never be perfectly holy all the time, so I might as well not even start. And we take this lie, the biggest lie we believe is that we cannot be holy. And yet God has called us to it. He's called us to holiness. He's called us to become a nation of priests. And this means that we can consecrate anything. We can become holy. We can live holy lives by stringing together holy moments when we consecrate one moment after another, one thing after another. So what should you consecrate? You can dedicate anything to God. We've seen in Scripture that Moses was dedicating normal objects, but he was now making them for the purposes of God. You can set apart anything. I want to just kind of give us an illustration here. My office is theoretically very similar to Zach's office. There's a computer, we both have books, and yet Zach's office is far more holy than mine. And here's how we get there. You walk into Zach's office and everything, every shelf has something set apart. My office still kind of looks like a dorm room, honestly. There's like no pictures yet. Like literally there's deodorant and a t-shirt when you walk in there because it's Sunday. I'm working on it. But this is the difference. Zach's office is far more holy. Every shelf, you could walk in and Zach could give you a tour and you could say, okay, yeah, this is a book, but notice this. This is a book that's set apart. I use this book for this purpose. I only use this book for certain occasions. This book was dedicated to something. This is the idea of setting something apart, making something holy. And when we do that with not just objects, but when we do that with moments, when we do that with situations, and we consecrate ourselves, then all of a sudden we become prepared for God's purposes. In normal moments become miraculous moments. Mundane things become things where God is moving clearly in them. This is what we consecrate. Normal things that you don't want to be normal anymore. Things that you want God to show up for. This is what we consecrate. You can consecrate business meetings. You can consecrate before you teach, before you show up somewhere to care for someone. I'm trying to figure out how to consecrate myself before I walk into the door when I come home at the end of the day. You can consecrate yourself for whatever ministry you do here at Trinity. We were talking a little bit about this as a staff. Nicole, our bookkeeper, like a week or so later, came back and she was like, hey, you know what? I took our offering. She deposits our offering, our tithes and offerings. And she, on the way, she didn't say this, but she consecrated our offering. She was praying for it. She took it, she dedicated that time, her way to deposit it, to dedicate it to God's purposes, to pray for the people who gave it, to pray for it itself. She consecrated our tithes and offerings. There's nothing more priestly than that. This is a simple concept, but it changes everything. You can consecrate anything. Because Christ has become our high priest, he's made us and established us as a nation of priests. And this means we have every right to invite God into every moment that he has prepared for us, to align our hearts to his purposes, to purify ourselves before him so that we are relying on his power. So how can we do this? How can we practice consecration? And this is where it gets a little fun. We practice consecration by preparation through purification and prayer. I'm going out of the year with a big alliteration. Preparation through purification and prayer. So what we see so often in Scripture is that what this looks like, this idea of readying ourselves for what God has for us, believing with faith that what God has planned to do is going to be unbelievable if we prepare for it, if we ready ourselves for it, what it looks like is purification through prayer. Prayer and fasting is what this can look like. See, when Joshua's called the people to consecrate themselves, when God tells his people to consecrate themselves, what they're to do is to set themselves apart. And what this means is they participate in things or they stop participating in things that they normally participate in. There's a sense in which as we ready ourselves, as we commit to trusting and believing that we know that God has some amazing things ahead of us. There's incredible moments ahead of us, but if we focus on the moment before the moment, if we commit to consecrating ourselves, if we commit to preparing ourselves, the practice of that, getting ready for what God has for us, it will look like prayer and fasting and abstinence. Here's what I mean. There was a pastor who went to a prayer meeting. It was one of the first times he was a new pastor, and he was told, it's your time to lead the prayer meeting. And he walks in there, and there were some older ladies, and one of the older ladies pulls him aside and says, hey, I have a word for you. It's this: others may, you may not. Others may, but you may not. And it hit him like a ton of bricks. Because what it made him realize was as he was praying for incredible moves of God, that he was praying for things that God would move all around him, what he realized is that he needed to consecrate himself. That he needed to walk through this prayerful purification process that God has called his people to time and time again, that simply others certainly can, but we may not. He was called to something different, to abstain from things for a moment, to pray, to fast, to focus. This is the idea of how do we practice this idea of consecration. What it simply looks like is prayer and fasting. There may be days where you just need to say, I'm going to fast today in preparation for what I know God has told me I need to walk into. There might be times where you say, you know what, normally I watch my favorite TV show tonight, but I've consecrated this business meeting. I know God has promised his presence there. I need to consecrate myself for it. I'm gonna focus. I'm gonna purify myself. I'm gonna fast. Whatever it might be, there's things that we can do to purify ourselves and pray. I want us to have some liberty here, to feel free to come up with rituals. I know that sounds a little hyper-religious, right? But we have liberty here to do this. Remember, you're a priest. You have the right to do this. Scripture's filled with this pattern. God says, do this very specific thing. And then he says, because it's the Lord who sanctifies you. It's the Lord who cleans you up. It's nothing to do with the ritual. The rituals are for us. Call them routines. But these are things that we can do. This is a practical way that we can get into the habit of preparing ourselves, consecrating ourselves before the Lord in preparation for what he has for us. Consider it like a golf swing, a basketball shot, baseball swing. I'm covering all the sports analogies because I do really bad at them. So I'm covering all of them. Right? I've played golf a handful of times. Every time I show up to play golf, I swing completely differently. Everybody else stands up there. It's like the same ritual. They've got the ritual. Maybe they do this like 8 times, this, you know, that whole thing. I just make it up. Every time's a little bit different because I have no real motivation to shoot it straight. I know it's not going to happen. I'm there just to hang out. But this is the idea. Everybody knows that there's rituals that help you get in ready for something. Right? Baseball. I mean, they take an hour just doing this. This is the idea. We have some freedom here. Don't be afraid to create a ritual. As you begin to develop this practice in your life to consecrate yourself for these things, to decide, you know what, Lord, I'm going to set myself apart for your purposes. Man, I know you've called me to show up here. So I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm going to do this little ritual to get ready. It's going to be a prayer routine. Maybe you play a certain music and then you drive a certain direction. Those types of things. I want us to get creative. We have liberty here. This is an incredible thing to do, to consecrate yourself before what God has for you. These ideas, they keep us faithful. It has nothing to do with God's limitations, God's faithfulness, this formula. God is not a genie. We don't summon him. None of that. This is for us. So how do we move this out of this category of works and keep this into a category of God's grace? We have to understand that this idea, consecrating ourselves, is very personal. We can't miss this, that we consecrate ourselves to God. We consecrate ourselves to God. This is far different than just performance. This is far different than just sort of setting an intention or sort of just visualizing whatever it is that you have ahead of us. This is far bigger than just whatever like the cultural self-help spin of the day is. This is so much bigger than that. This is personal. This is recognizing God's holiness. This is recognizing that God in his holiness, in his graciousness, has set you apart for a purpose and you need to prepare for it. But don't miss that we consecrate ourselves to God. Scripture says that when we consecrate ourselves, we actually minister to God before we minister to others. So don't miss this. This is not some new work that makes us clean and pure. It only comes by God's grace. But in his graciousness, in his gift to us, he has invited us into good works, and we need to purify ourselves for them. We need to align with his purposes. We need to consecrate ourselves for them. So you can consecrate anything. But you can't miss that you are consecrating to God. Last night, I consecrated date night. How romantic, right? I told Val that I consecrated date night. And here's how that works. You can consecrate date night. Because what I know is that January is going to be nuts for our family for a lot of different reasons. And I knew we needed a good date night. I need God to show up in Val and I's marriage. I needed a date night that was consecrated. I didn't consecrate myself to Val. I consecrated myself to God. And God changed my perspective on date night. And trust me, Val prefers date night when I'm consecrated to God. in your marriage, if you know God has good for you, consecrate yourselves. In your work, where you know God has good things for you, consecrate yourself. Walk into it, but be ready. I want to just give us three questions. The next thing in your mind, the thing that you know God has you walking into, ask these questions. Have I repented? Have I gone before God? Have I purified myself? Let's read Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What Hebrews is teaching us over and over again, that this whole idea of being made pure, becoming holy, it's powered by Christ. It's a gift of grace. And so we can draw near in full assurance of faith, Scripture says, that if we repent and believe, if we go before God confessing our sins, He's faithful to forgive. And so we start with our purification built on the cross, built on what Christ gives us, not some ritual, right? It's not some performance formula. We participate in this because God has given us full assurance. He's made us clean. He's purified us. We can remove ourselves from any evil conscience. So the step one, if you're ready, asking yourself, am I ready? Have I repented? Have I gone before the Lord? Has He made me holy? Has He cleaned me? Has He purified me? Second, have I set myself apart? Have I moved beyond just the simple task of preparing the skills that are associated with whatever is ahead of me? Have I moved beyond that into consecration? Have I set myself apart? Have I participated in things I normally don't do? Have I prayed more than I normally would? Have I abstained from things that I normally wouldn't abstain from? Have I just fasted, blocked out TV, whatever distractions? Have I made this moment a moment of consecration before the moment I know is coming? Am I ready? Have I repented? Have I set myself apart? And last, am I waiting faithfully? Am I trusting, believing that God has something incredible for us? His purposes for us to walk through, good works for us to walk through. Am I believing that? And am I willing to consecrate myself for it? Am I waiting faithfully? As you look into the future of this year, ask yourself, am I making myself ready? Am I trusting that there are going to be moments where the only explanation is that God moved? But am I understanding that the moment before that moment, God is calling me to set myself apart, to consecrate myself in preparation for it? Let's finish with the last part of Joshua 3. We'll pick up in verse 13. It says, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. This giant invisible dam. 14 says, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now Jordan overflows in all its banks through the time of the harvest. Verse 16, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel was passing over on dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Incredible moment. Moment they talked about for generations. And before that moment was another moment where the people were faithful to consecrate themselves, to set themselves apart, to take what God says about them seriously, that they are a holy people, that He establishes them as such. And that we would do the same, that we would recognize that there is things that God can do in our lives and in our church that we could talk about for generations. But before those moments, there's another moment. And I want us to focus on that moment, commit to that moment, to consecrate ourselves, to choose to set ourselves apart for God's purposes, to be aligned with His purposes, for our own purification through Christ, so that we can walk into every good work that God has for us. Let's pray. God, You have called us Your people, a holy people, a royal priesthood. How would You help us this morning to understand just the implications of that, what it means, the liberties we get as priests, with You as the high priest. God, that You have sent Your Spirit that we can make every moment holy. That we can set apart every situation in our lives, God, and prepare for it alongside You to ready ourselves for everything that You have for us. In Your name we pray. Amen.